Father, we want to be lost in you today.
Yes.
Lord, all things that surround, that have become faint shadows in the light of you, Lord.
Yes.
Let that be the love of our heart, the desire of our heart, the hunger and thirst of our heart, is to see and know nothing but you. That's what we want to hear from this morning, Lord. We want to hear you speak out of the presentation of your word by your spirit into our hearts today. By your spirit into our hearts today. We're going to be touched by you and rechanged by you, healed, delivered. Our mindset to be set on higher and loftier things than the foolish things we've kept our minds on this last week. Our eyes fixed upon you. Because the light is so bright, we couldn't see anything else unless even we tried. Amen. That's the desire of our heart, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, I will say, if there's anyone in this service today that needs help, that needs change, that needs deliverance, let that need be met by your Spirit and by your word today.
Yes.
We are your servants. Cleanse us, purify us, use us as you will, and direct us by what goes on here today. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. I think today we're going to, I'm going to say this is your captain speaking. We'll be leaving shortly. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened. Put your tables upright. That stuff you're messing with, get them out of the way. Turn your cell phones off. God's got a message, and anybody calling your cell phone is not as important. I hope the flight today is a little rough. Hope it's bumpy in some spots. We'll get you there safe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Trouble is, you don't know where you're going. I don't either. So we'll just get in, buckle in, push the throttle forward. And do you know planes will take off themselves? Do you know that? If you push the throttle forward, they'll go by themselves. You can't hardly keep them. Well, you can't keep them down. If you keep the throttle pressed, it is going to go up because that's in the nature of the bird. And what nature do you have? What's your nature? Is it to go up? Is it to get to higher and better things? Are you one of those people that don't even have a throttle? If you have a throttle, you're going to go up. Let's go ahead and press the throttle. God being the fuel, and I promise you, he's hot fuel.
Yeah.
You're going to go.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can go straight up. Now, y'all about ready?
Yeah.
All right. You know what a landing is in an airplane, don't you? First thing you learn, it's a controlled crash. That is the truth. You pull the throttle back, and you try to keep just enough throttle to keep from falling, even though that's what you're doing. It's a controlled fall. Don't get so slow that you lose stability. Sounds like a good message if somebody wants to build one of those. Anyway, that's not the message for today. We're going to do, I think, the final part 13, if I'm not mistaken, of God's Will is a Trip. And today, the title of the message is Forgiven. Sure, or is it maybe? Is forgiven? Sure, or is it conditional? Is it maybe? All right, a little review from the study of Joseph. Y'all stand with me, and we're going to read Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" And we'll say it correctly, "I am in the place of God." "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid," this is the voice of God, "I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Y'all do recognize that to be the heart of God, right?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all may be seated. We've been studying about the call on your life. The call on your life being there is a thing called the will of God. This will of God is what keeps the earth moving. You understand? The minute the will of God's the God's will changes, there will be no more earth as we know it. The minute that God's will is that I'm no longer here, then I'm no longer here. The will of God, the call of God is a call to the will of God.
Yes.
Understand that. The call on your life is a call to the will of God. It's not a call to preach. It's not a call to teach. It's not a call to be healed. It's not a call to be a missionary. There is no such thing. A call is a call to the will of God. And when we yield to the will of God, then we find out what that call is. We sometimes try to get those things out of order. We do that. We need to do that corporately. We need to do it individually. And we also know that the will of God, or the call of God to the will of God, is that you are not called to yourself. You're called to somebody else. The church is a selfish thing. The world is a selfish thing. The will of God is not a selfish thing. And so we are called to a non-selfish thing, number one. Then we can find out what that call is. All right, it's for others. All right, to walk in the will of God, in the call of God, you must believe that God calls. You must believe that God has a will. You must believe that it is God. Alcohol has a will. Drugs have a will. God has a will. Your stomach has a will. Your mind has a will. Your emotions have a will. And God has a will. And none of those things that I mentioned other than God is correct. Right. Only God is the will that we should answer. The call. Number two. We must know that if God has a will and He's called me to that will, whatever it is He wants me to do, He will make it happen.
That's right.
Loads off, right? Number three. If God put that in us, that call, that mission, that direction, He'll carry it out. Number four, if it is His plan, He'll make it happen. Now, if you turn on the television right now, every preacher is preaching that everybody's supposed to be wealthy. Now, if everybody was wealthy, nobody would be poor. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but you need to think about that a little bit. Jesus said, the needy will always be with you. So I don't know if that is the exact interpretation of the word or not. But what I'm telling you is all of us will be wealthy in the Spirit. All of us will be wealthy in wisdom and knowledge and understanding.
Amen.
And therefore, that will sustain us on this earth. Yes. Am I preaching that some people should be poor? No. No, but some people will always choose us to be poor. So you've got to give them the right to go to hell or be poor, whatever it is, just like somebody's given you the right to go to heaven, be wealthy, be prosperous. That make any sense? All right. If it is His plan, the reason I went off on that is because just because I have a plan to make you wealthy doesn't mean it's God's plan. Somebody got an envelope today to all you millionaires or whatever. I found out that everybody got one. So somebody has a plan to make you think that you're supposed to be a millionaire while they become a millionaire on your plans. Listen to what I said. They're going to make $1 million off of your wishes or your plans. God's not going to make a dime on your plans. You'll be wealthy in His plans.
That's right.
But you can't make Him wealthy. So He's not after what you think He's after. He just wants you, your will, to be enthralled in His. Or enthroned is a better word. He'll make it happen. Number five. Do you understand that He creates the hunger and thirst in us? You can't make yourself... See, in the world, you cannot eat and become hungry. You cannot drink and become thirsty. That doesn't work in the Spirit. You have to cry out to Him. He will create a hunger. He will create a thirst. And that draws you to Him. That's what I mean by He'll make it happen. Five. All we have to do is believe and obey. That's our assignment. Believe and obey. Okay, here's the thing we've already covered. The plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began by placing and retraining all those before Joseph, placing him at the right place at the right time. No school can do that to you. No insurance policy can do that for you. Only God can. B, there are specific preludes to our call. There are specific preludes to our call. One of the things that all Christians need to get smarter in is their history. Not the remembrance of sin. Their history. This is what I went through. Y'all ever heard of the crack thump method? It's what they teach you in the military about how to locate a sniper. because a bullet travels faster than the speed of sound. When it goes over your head, it makes a crack. It breaks the sound barrier. Where it hits, it's called the thump. If you line up the crack with the thump, you know where the shot came from. And you shoot back. Now, that's what your history does. If you can line up your history from where you are, you can see where you're going. That's why you don't want to consider sin in the process. If God has forgotten the sin, then you shouldn't remember the sin, but that doesn't mean you forgot where you came from. Do not assume that because we know it is God, it'll be easy. But the goal of God is to increase your faith. Therefore, there's going to be a couple of trials and a couple of tribulations, or your faith will never get increased. If you have some problems and bumps in the road, don't count it as sin. Give God thanks, praise in all things. D, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world. And I'll say one other thing, just a little bit more heavy. God needs your willing heart to continue the world. E, there's always a provision that keeps God's will alive. That's called, there's always a Reuben. F, there's always a master's wife or a tempter to try to steal God's will and God's plan for your life. Whenever you find there's a tempter there, go in the other direction. Go in the other direction. Go in the other direction. Flee. Where Bill was working last night at the club, they were heavy in the consumption of alcohol. And it created some problems. One of them was that there was a little romantic problems. Let's call it that. Guys trying to force themselves on women. Guys eliminating where they shouldn't be eliminating. If I know that these things are part of alcohol, why do I want to go with alcohol? And I don't know anybody that's immune to their mind being altered by alcohol or other drugs. Why do I want to put... Do you appreciate your mind? I appreciate what God has done, has given me in my mind. And I don't intend to pickle it by somebody else's accidental fermentation. I'm not going to be tempted to do things that I wouldn't want to do with a clear and sound mind because I take alcohol. If that is my problem, then I need to flee. All right. G. When you're out of control and in God's control, God will provide for you according to His riches and His power. H. When we repent, the salvation process begins. Until we confess and repent, we will be plagued by past deeds that always keeps us in fear of the future. If you've got fear of the future, it's because you're plagued with the past. I. God's will is that all are to be saved. He wants to speak caringly to us, not to threaten us. He wants to provide for us. All it takes is to confess and release the past, move into Him, which is always future. J. An understanding on my part that people do not control my life. My steps, my past, this understanding will release me from guilt and will set others free from their sin. This is the great release that past sins has on all of us. I need to remember, it is not you that sent me, but God. Man, can we just, if we just look, in fact, if I could look, start in the mirror, and I could say to Stan, it wasn't you that sent me, it was God. When I get that down, then I can go to whoever I'm having trouble with, and I can say, it's not you, but God. I can say that in the presence of mine enemies, the Bible says. K, when I truly release it all, when I forgive all, I am free to move to greater things, even if it is a different place. When I am in control, drought or other circumstances, when I am in control, drought or other circumstances, when I am in control, drought or other circumstances, rule. Now listen to me. If you're a good person, when you're in control, you have to take all responsibility. Now, I know we operate in a civilization where nobody ever wants to take control of anything or have a responsibility. Now, they want to be totally free and rule at everything, but they don't want to take responsibility. Nonsense. Those people that call good bad, bad good. It's the last days. When I have released it all to God, I will prosper in the midst of famine. L. God's will is that we have eternal possession. We have an eternal possession. A lineage that continues forever, both here and eternally. I am part of the seed of Abraham. His lineage is not the only one that's continuing. So is mine. Which means that I'm part of one continuous lineage designed by God. I heard a preacher say this morning, he said, when you get to heaven, you ain't going to meet Peter. You're going to meet Father Abraham. That's who you're going to meet. Peter's way down the line. We'll see. He doesn't know any more than I do, but it's a good thought. The earth is depending upon God's will being done in and through us. Without this, destruction is sure. All right. Last week, Jacob said to his sons, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a people, a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. The reason, if I ever thought that there was a reason that I might meet Father Abraham when I walked into heaven, was that I am his everlasting possession. And then everything after me is his and my everlasting possession. Just checking up on things. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. What happens now in chapter 49 is the 12 tribes of Israel are established. He speaks into existence the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want to remind you of something. Israel is not located in Israel. Israel is located in you and you in Israel. I'm sorry, over there, it's just a piece of ground. And God doesn't honor that piece of ground any more than the piece of ground you're on right now. He's not a respecter of persons. Either that or he's a liar. And I choose to believe he's not a liar. Now, the reason I said that is you will be one of these tribes. As I quickly review and then finish, I want you to understand that the 12 tribes of Israel were not created around 12 sons. They were created around 12 nations. And you can't get out of that nation if you are part of God's tribe. Maybe we might have a choice if we just listen. He called his sons together. Jacob called his sons and said, listen to Israel. I like that. First, Reuben, you're my firstborn. Unstable as water. Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. We went over this last week, so I'm going quickly. This is a review. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Let's start today. Zebulun. We're in 49:13. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall adjoin Sidon. 14. Issachar is a strong donkey. I think this is a big column right here. No, let's read the rest of it. Lying down between two burdens, he saw that rest was good, that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. You know that most people that you know are in this category? I'm going to read it to you again. He saw that rest was good. You know, in the United States, most people look more forward to rest than work. Terrible, terrible situation. And the land was pleasant. That means he got real comfortable. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden. Somebody told him he needed to do this job. He started doing this job. He got comfortable with this job. And this is the rest of it. And he became a band of slaves. I don't want to be a part of that one. I want to do my work, but I never want to be comfortable. I want to look for that better place continuously. 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. The last part is, I'm still expecting better. There are some that hide. They wait. They're quiet until it comes time to bite. And then they bite. And they cause people to fall. I don't want to be part of that tribe. I don't like that tribe. 19. Gad. By the way, you do understand that we're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. We're not talking about one tribe that's going to heaven and 11 going to hell. I'm not talking about if somebody bites that they're already dead to the world, dead to God and going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm saying their attitude is bad. 19. Gad. A troop shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. 20. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. I don't want to be part of that one. Unless it means spiritual things set upon a table. Which if you really want to know, that's what it means. Asher was the chef or the sous chef at the table. 21. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. Isn't it amazing that that's all it says? Well, that's about all the content in beautiful words. Nothing. We've got pulpits full of Naphtalis. 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. But his bough remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. This sounds good so far. Oh, really? People shooting at you? Hate you? Yeah, but you don't understand. Look at the good part. His bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Sounds like somebody's doing something. Usually if you want to find a hated person, find someone that's doing something. But I like that God backed him up. 27. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Now the tribe of Benjamin seems to be providers. 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Maybe we ought to spend less time trying to change people, make them in our likeness and image, and just say, bless you in the image that God has given you. Now, what does bless mean? Multiply and increase. So if I'm somebody that bites at heels and makes them fall backwards. Now, see, your eyebrows came up. Why'd you do that? I just said you're supposed to bless me. If that's who you are, then be more of that. Wonder how many people we could change if we would look at them and say to their face, you gossiper, you backbiter, I bless you, do it more. Well, isn't that what we just saw here happen? Maybe there's some ministry in that kind of action. Maybe God could minister more if we weren't trying to be God, if we were just saying you're going to be blessed in the blessing that you have. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron, the Hittite, as a possession for a burial place. 31. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. There's even lineage in burial. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Now, do you know what death is? Do you know the exact definition of death? It's when God takes back the breath that he's given you. That's death. It doesn't say you breathe no more. It just takes back the breath that he gave you. Then he was gathered to his people. Why are you saying that, Stan? Because I want you to know, for Christians, there is no death. There's a loss of the breath that keeps this flesh alive. Did you know that everything on the face of the earth was breathed on by God? And it's the only thing that keeps it alive? And then when God finally removes that, there'll be no more life on this earth? It will revert back to its former image, which was hell. Now, this is to the flesh, not to those that are spiritually born again, because they no longer partake in that breath. They now partake in the true, unadulterated, untouched life of God. Therefore, there is no hell to them. There's only what now is. The life of God is heaven. The lack of the life of God is hell. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 50. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. By the way, did you realize that the sons didn't get together and vote where they accepted these blessings or not? If we would ever grow up and figure out that we ain't got a thing to say about anything, we're going to be a lot smarter. God has already spoken to us who we are and what we're going to do. Let's just be blessed in that. Let's don't try to change others into our likeness and image. Let's just be blessed on where we are. Let's bless others on where they are. They're God's, right? Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. The Egyptians mourned a double abomination. A Canaanite was an abomination, and a shepherd was an abomination. And yet they mourned him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I am dying. In my grave which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back." Now, do you remember early on when Pharaoh said, anything that you say goes in this country? You have total rule. Do you think that Pharaoh's back into a corner? Didn't Joseph just say, "I swore to my father to do this"? All right, watch Pharaoh's response. He's a lot smarter than most. And Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father as he made you swear." In other words, what choice have I got? You've already said it. So Joseph went up to bury his father. By the way, your words still carry that kind of clout, if you'll just remember that. In your mouth, from your tongue, is life and death. Rivers of blessings, rivers of curses. You choose this day what you're going to receive, what you're going to give. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers, his father's house, only their little ones, their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. That's a pretty good-sized funeral. I got a feeling there were a lot of fancy chariots going that day. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Then they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a deep mourning of the Egyptians." Therefore, its name was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. Look that up, and it roughly means a meadow. It's a picture. It's a meadow in Canaan for the Egyptians. How about that? Why they named that, I don't know. For his sons did for him just as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought the field from Ephron the Hittite as property for a burial place. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt. Why did Joseph return to Egypt? He said he would. Whoa. What a thought. What a thought. Did y'all ever tell anybody you're going to do something and not do it? Did y'all ever make a commitment to show up 15 minutes for service and show up 15 minutes late? That's not doing what you say you're going to do. Come on. You know how many pledges you've made not fulfilled. Maybe that's why that God has not been fulfilling all of the things that you think He should fulfill. It's a seed time and harvest. He returned to Egypt, he and his brothers, and all who went up with him to bury his father. Wow. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." Okay, we got to stop here for a minute. Now, has Joseph already covered this territory?
Yes.
Has he already told them more than once, "You're forgiven"?
Yes.
But they're not walking in the forgiveness. It's not a sure thing to them. Do you want me to show you why I know it wasn't a sure thing to them? And why I'm asking you this morning, is your forgiveness sure? Listen to what they said. "And may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." What is a repay? It's a debt that has not been paid. So, if a debt has not been paid, then the forgiveness is not real. It has not been deposited. Their account of forgiveness is not full, it's empty. You hear what I'm telling you? How many of us are expecting bad things to be repaid? Now, come on. I'm getting down here deep. I'm coming up on the bottom side of y'all right now. Kind of sneaking in like something I shouldn't. I'm hitting you low and deep. How many of you expect bad things to happen to you? Whether it be a physical thing, when a physical thing comes up, I deserve it. Instead of getting mad and say, "No! I've been forgiven and released from this." You see, if you can't do that, your forgiveness is not sure. It's not rooted and grounded in you yet, and you still have this phrase, "Repay us for all the evil." He asked, "What about seed time and harvest?" I don't have all the answer. I know that I'm forgiven from it. Now it's up for me to trust God about the rest of it. I am not going to be foolish enough to sit here and tell you that there's never going to be any repercussions. Now, let's go back. Let's go back. And let's draw a line in the sand here. The brothers knew that they had mistreated Joseph, right? Let's just go down the center of this church. Over here, this is the side. The left-hand side of this church is the side of sin. Over here on the right-hand side, this is the side of forgiveness. Did the ruler of the country, the one that could have issued unforgiveness, did he release it? Did he go to the left-hand side of this church and say, "You're forgiven"? And now the whole church became forgiven. Right? It's the way Jesus did it. We're not talking about what happened. We're talking about what happened in you. We're talking about you won the lottery. Somebody called you up and said you won $20 million. And you can't get it through your thick skull that you got $20 million. Aren't we talking about the same thing? Well, yeah, here's my bank statement. It says it's got $20 million, but I just don't believe it. That's where about 90% of all Christians walk, right there. These things have not become sure in you. Sure enough that you risk or base your life on it. Little silly things question your forgiveness, such as flu season. I've got to run out and get my shot. Oh, I see you didn't understand forgiveness. Well, everybody deserves flu. Now you're forgiven. You're released from the curse. Is that not what the Scripture says? We haven't got the right to argue with God and say, but it's probably time for me to be repaid for the evil that I did. Once He says, no more, there is no more. Unless you argue with it. Then you get to argue, and then you get to lose big time. You need to understand, anybody that argues with the Word loses big time. What's arguing with the Word? Not receiving it. Not moving out on it. Come on, Peter, walk on this water. And he goes, and he walks on water, until he says, maybe I'm not fully forgiven. What does he do? He looks at the things around him, instead of looking at the promise. And he begins to sink. Well, Christians can't sink. Can we sit and talk to each other privately for a second? I think I'll point a couple of times when you and I both have sunk some. So let's don't be goofy. Goofy is goofy. Stupid is arguing with the Word. We all can get goofy. Let's don't anybody be stupid. If God says that I am healed, then I need to be healed. And when something tries to come on me, I need to get mad for the Word. Not because it's coming on me, because this is attacking God. Are you truly forgiven? Do you understand that being forgiven means that I don't owe anymore? I don't owe anymore. When I was a kid, I was always taught that, well, you can ask for forgiveness, but God's going to make you go back and make all of those things right. What a crock! You can't. Number one, I didn't sin against those people. I sinned against God. And if He says it's released, then I begin to argue with Him if I don't receive the release. Does God sometimes make us go back and correct things? By His Word. Yes. But only by His Word, not by some goofy preacher's word. Perhaps Joseph will hate us. You know what they're depending on, people? They're depending on the Father instead of the Son. Y'all catch that? See, forgiveness is the will of God. Jesus is the plan of God, or the call of God. And if my hope is wrapped up on God the Father, then I can read in the Old Testament where sometimes He gets hot. And there is no advocate, therefore I probably don't have a chance in Hades if He gets hot. But Jesus tells me God's not mad at me. See, God can get mad but not be mad at me. Go back in your Old Testament and you'll study when God got mad sometimes. For instance, if we were Old Testament believers right now, some goofy that decides to set things straight by killing little girls and himself in Amish community, those people that worship God truly, He might have got mad and mocked in the United States, just disappear. Are you hearing me? Check your Old Testament, see if that's not true. But then Jesus came. And He said to the Father, I know they deserve it. Which everybody in here needs to say, I deserve death. Until Jesus says, now you don't deserve it. And then don't you ever say it again. And now we're judged, whether it's seed time and harvest or whatever, on an individual basis, and we're dealt with by the Holy Spirit according to what Jesus did and according to what He's doing right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. That is safe, guys. That is safe. Now listen. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brother and their sin. And they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of your servant, of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. The first time he wept because he felt the feeling. The next time, this time he's weeping because they haven't received it. They're walking below what he's given them. Now, let's get the picture here correct. When they came to Joseph, he said, "You didn't do it to me, God did." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Well, to make it more clear, he blessed their socks off. He set them up in the best land. He made them rulers over all of the herds of the known world at that time, not just Egypt, because by this time Pharaoh owned everything. And he gave them, let me get back to the husbandmen. He gave them the best breeding stock on the face of the earth to build their herds with. Do you understand what that means? That means they didn't have to go out here and pay $100,000 for an artificial insemination from a breed line so that I can get mine going better. That means all I got to do is take that best one and mate with this best one, and I'll take that calf. That's called first fruits. The best of the first fruits. He'd given them the best of everything and spoke to them softly. Now, how much more do they need? How much more convincing do you need? You need somebody to yell at you? Well, that's why sometimes he sends preachers. Because Jesus don't yell. He doesn't have to. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we are servants." Joseph wept. They fell. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For I am in the place of God." Can I tell you something? Anytime that you walk in forgiveness, you are God. You are in the place of God. If you are walking in judgment, whether it's against you or against somebody else, you are in the place of the devil. "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Now, can I remind you something? Would I prefer to have what you meant for me or what God meant for me? I don't care if you love me dearly. I don't care if you think I'm the bee's knees. I'd still rather have what God meant for me than you, because I know it's better. I don't care if the desire of your heart is for the best for me. God has a higher way and a higher thought and a higher desire than you. I'll take his. Right? I'm sure of that. Are you sure that that's what God has for you? Amen. Are you thoroughly convinced that God is a forgiver? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Then why do you receive anything but that that is cleansed and purified and forgiven? "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." He didn't say to them, "God did it for me so that I could save you." Did you notice that? He said, "Yeah, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good to save many." So he, once again, he put it in order. "I don't want to just release you from everything, but you were just a little cog in the wheel that caused this to happen." That's what he's saying. "I forgive you because you want me to say it a little tough? I forgive you because you're not worth holding anything against. I'll not put any worth on you." See, for me to not forgive you gives you tremendous worth. It holds me back from the kingdom. It holds me back from true forgiveness. It holds me back from blessing. That's putting tremendous power in that person that you're mad at. So he put it in order. You were a cog in the wheel. I was a cog in the wheel. And this is the result. God wants many saved alive. "Now therefore do not be afraid, because I know this is God's deal. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I wish somebody would have taught me this when I was young. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt. By the way, if you want an eternal lineage, learn what I'm talking about here today. Pass it on to your children and your grandchildren. If you don't ever teach them anything, teach them this. I promise you, I'd be a different person today if somebody would have taught me this when I was young. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, they must have received the forgiveness, guys, because they let their kids hang around Joseph and their grandkids and their great-grandkids. Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you. What's Joseph saying? Your salvation's not tied up in me. These steps, these elevations from glory to glory, the father passes away, forgiveness is still there, God's visit is still there. Joseph is going to go away. Guess what Joseph says? But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What did Joseph do to Egypt? They didn't even know it. You understand that they weren't even asking forgiveness? Egypt never asked for forgiveness. And Joseph still blessed them by his presence, by his what? By his obedience to God. Right. In what area? Mostly in the forgiveness of his family. He didn't carry that burden. He didn't carry it into the pit. He didn't carry it into the slave trade. He didn't carry it into the dungeons. He didn't carry it through the master's wife. He didn't carry any of that. Therefore, when he was brought to rule, in a place of rule, and all of us are in the place of rule in somebody's life, when he brought to that place of rule, all he had to give them was the blessing of forgiveness.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's in every news media today is the response of those Amish people instantly to the people to the man that murdered their children. They don't understand it. The Amish don't understand it. Nobody understands it. So what glares? What glares is the light of forgiveness. Yeah. Every news person you've ever heard talk about this, they're just moved by the instant forgiveness. We don't have to agree with how they live. Nobody asks us to agree with how they live. But what we need to do is look at the cracked thumb. We need to understand. We need to hear the shot. We need to see where it hit. And we need to look back. And we can draw a line and see the results of where we're going. This is going good for the Amish. Here's what the Amish have to say right now. They have to. They're required to. Are you Amish? You need to learn to say this. At the grave of their children, they're saying, you didn't put me here. God did. And therefore, they take away all authority that murderer had. They just take the wind out of his sails. You don't even hardly see the picture of him. You don't hardly hear anything talked about him. They're so busy talking about the forgiveness. Number one, are you forgiven? Prove it to me. That's what the world is yelling. Do you understand that? I'm not yelling that. The world is yelling to the Christian community. If you're forgiven, prove it to me. Show me that you're forgiven. Show me how forgiveness works. Do you understand that the world does not understand how forgiveness works? Only through God's will and life through you will they ever see what forgiveness is. How does forgiveness start? It says, you didn't do anything to me. God did it. And the worst thing would be at the grave of a child or a grandchild. If you can say it there, you can say it anywhere. Right? Then all of those other things that I've been mad about or unforgiving, they begin to pass away. They go away. Start wherever it is God has you right now. Do you hear me? Start wherever God has you right now. There's something. Is forgiven sure in you? Or is it based on whatever's happening around you? Can I tell you guys something? You to this day don't understand those parents and grandparents standing at the grave of their children and grandchildren saying, you're forgiven. Why? Because we have not yet been totally forgiven. No. That's I said that wrong and I repent. You have not received your total forgiveness. You've been totally forgiven. Been totally released. If that lunatic that killed those 5-6 girls, if they'd have been standing there and he hadn't killed himself, they would have offered him forgiveness standing in their own children's blood. We've missed it, church. We've missed it. For some reason, we think that holiness and righteousness is the only thing we aim at when it all begins with forgiveness. You can't have holiness and righteousness without being sure in your heart of forgiveness. I got it, and I give it. Are you forgiven? Joseph's brothers were depending on the life of their father for safety. Who are you depending on? Your job? Your insurance? The ability of your hands, Chuck? What are you depending on? Do you understand that when we receive forgiveness totally, like we're supposed to, that all provision is there? All provision. It's no longer dependent upon what I can do. It's dependent on what Jesus has already done. Your salvation is as sure as Jesus. Now, are you sure about Jesus? Never let change or unsurety move you. You are the apple of God's eye. You're the apple of God's eye. He paid Jesus for you. Your eternal salvation has never been based on any other man but Jesus. Are you hearing? Am I listening? These messages that God has given me to share with you, they have come at such a critical time in my life that I tell you openly that if I had not had these messages, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I'd do. Just don't know. Now I know I don't have to do anything. Isn't that what the message is? All I have to do is believe. Isn't that what we said at the beginning of this? Just believe. Let me tell you what I believe. I'm going to tell you this openly. I believe that I was those brothers. That I have done much harm. And I'm talking to people that I hope you're wise enough to know that you can say the same thing as I. I've done much harm. And I've owed much. And before the foundations of the earth, God saw me lost without hope and provided Jesus as the sacrifice to receive all of the punishment that I deserved. There was only one way to repay the things that I deserved, and that was death. God took the pure one, His only begotten Son, and paid that price for me. You know what else needs to be done? Nothing. All I have to do is believe it. Nothing. What about the risks? What about the risks in forgiving? People will take advantage of you. I thought I told you something. I thought that I understood that all we did is nothing. Just believe. For God so loved Stan, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if I would believe on Him, that I would not and could not perish, but I'd have everlasting life. Do I believe that? What if a crushing blow comes tomorrow? Will I believe it tomorrow? That's more important than what I believe right now in this Spirit-filled building right now. What I believe tomorrow is more important than what I'm hearing today. I have to make decisions based on this move of the Spirit right now. I have to understand that of those faces that are coming to me right now, I have to say, you're forgiven. Those dangers that are facing me right now, you're forgiven. Those threats, you're forgiven. What does that mean? That means I just release it. When the Amish stood at the grave of their loved ones, they're not saying, I love you for what you did. Don't be deceived. They're not saying, I love you for what you did. What they're saying is, if you don't get your heart straight, you're going to rue this day for eternity. That is wrapped up in one word called forgiveness. You owe God, but you don't owe me. Come on, get it down. You may owe God, but you don't owe me nothing. I've released it. Are you forgiven? Are you so forgiven? You're so full of forgiveness that you can run over on somebody else. The world right now is waiting for your answer. That's the reason God is putting this down on CD. It's why he's recording it, because it's going to go from here. And I can promise you this, I have never in my life ever heard a word on forgiveness like it's been given in this place. You understand, with understanding, you can't tell a fleshly human how to forgive. Only by the Spirit can you ever get it. And that's been given here. I'm receiving it. When I walk out of here today, I'm going to prophesy over me and over you. When we walk out of here today, we're going to operate in a realm that we've never operated in before. We're going to surprise ourselves. We're going to walk in such great forgiveness that as we forgive others, it floors us. I changed the oil in my skid steer loader the other day, and I put this stuff in there that cleans and slicks and makes it move so good. And I did that with hope. And I reached in there and I ran that thing a little bit, and all of a sudden the controls just got so easy. They got smooth. The whole operation of the machine got smooth. That's on a stinking bit of oil. How much more, by the Spirit of God through what Jesus did, will my life work smooth? And this isn't a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope. As the old timers will say, this is not whistling through the graveyard. This is real. You know how real it is? You can base your eternal life on it, and you must base your eternal life on it. Did you hear what I said? You must. And your eternal life doesn't stop after you're dead. It begins this day. You're going to see things differently. You're going to feel them differently. You're going to act them out differently. There's going to be a joy in your heart that can't be stolen because of a new understanding of forgiveness and a new operation in that. Do you all receive that? Do you swear to it? Do you swear to it? God would ask you, do you swear to this? Because what you swear, you decree. And since what you decreed was good, then it's okay for you to swear. Amen. Richard, are you with us? You agreeing with me? You're working at it, huh? Well, good. I hope everybody in here is working as hard as you are at it. What else do I need to say? What else do I need to say? I want what God wants. And I know that God wants for you and for me, for our life to be full of pleasure and joy. And I know as long as that pleasure and joy is tainted with unforgiveness, we will never understand the smoothness of life and the joy of life. Now, I want this word to change our lives. Harry, I know how hard it is for me at my age to have a life change. I haven't gotten where you are, but I think God is touching you. I think He's changing you. I'm picking on Him because I think He's the elder of the bunch. I'm not picking on Him, I'm talking to Him. I think I see life in places that there was no life. Because age tends to steal things from you if you allow it. And yet I'm encouraged to see Harry's eyes brighten. Because that means my eyes, it's legal for me to have bright eyes. And to continue to be brightened as I go on. Amen? And I'm going to say to you again, I wish somebody would have taught me this when I was your age. I wish, because my life would be totally different. The people that I've touched would be, they'd be better touched. Is that a better way to say it? They'd be touched better than the way I touched them. If you can't make this commitment to walk in the forgiveness of Christ Jesus for yourself, then can you do it for others? Can you just say, like Zito said, I've looked at my life. This guy's just barely 30 years old. I've looked at my life and I've seen that there's nothing I've done is right. And I say, God, send the rain. And the first place He's going to rain on you is forgiveness. And now I walk, look at His words. Now, every day, I walk in forgiveness. That was a response of send the rain. I want to have that testimony. How about you? See, I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody in the world that should resist wanting this testimony. That God has touched me like nobody else can touch me. He's brought me, the old song says, out of a deep miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay. To stay, not be knocked off. Stand with me. I know that the best way to acknowledge God's love in you and the forgiveness that He offers is to openly acknowledge it. If someone today has had a life change or wants a life change, I wish you'd be bold enough and man enough or woman enough to come and stand right here and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the one that has forgiven me. Just boldly make a proclamation that I turn my back on what I used to believe and now I receive what is real and live for today. Now, because Bill has been a public figure in this place, I'm going to publicly say some things to Bill or about Bill. And it's been beyond my ability until this series to be able to speak to Bill. Bill has walked in those areas that his father has taught him, not God the Father. And most of that is ironclad cement unforgiveness. What Bill has walked on. Mostly his father did it to him. And when he finally forgives his father, his godly father will forgive him. Has he been walking in unforgiveness? Oh, every one of you have. Don't be looking like that. I have too. That's why Joseph has brought us here. The study of Joseph has brought us here. There are some things in our lives, and these things in Bill's lives have affected him tremendously and negatively. And if I understand what he just did, he stood out here and said, I'm turning my back on that. The Bible says you are to leave your father and mother. It doesn't mean abandon them. It means leave their teaching. No longer do what they say. No matter teach what they say. Turn to the godly father and do what he says. And I want to say over Bill right now, I lay hands on him and say in Jesus' name, you have a refreshing you've never had before. Your controls are more smooth. Your decisions are better. You fly higher. You stay more calm and you don't let those little things become big things anymore. You look to the Father instead of to the flesh. You walk now in a forgiveness that you've never understood before. And you're so full of it that it just bubbles over. Instead of law, it's now grace mixed with law, which is wisdom. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I say the same thing over my wife. There's things happen. Boom, 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 boom. One on top of another, one on top of another. And only a mighty person could have withstood the things that you've been bombarded with. And because I've said over and over, as for me and my house, I've even said this in ignorance, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You've been able to take this. We've been able to take this. Now it's no longer us taking this. It is Jesus taking it. Cast all of your cares upon Him. He'll do the caring for you. There is nobody in this earth that's important enough for you to even consider to be angry at, because it distracts you from the things of God. I curse them in your life. I curse them in my life. I curse those things and those people and those actions that have kept us from the mighty hand of God. Turn our backs on them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We walk in total forgiveness. There's no history. There's no weapon that's ever been happened or going to happen that can ever get between us and God. Because we just give freely what Jesus gave to us, which is forgiveness. Total forgiveness. In Jesus' name, we walk smoother, more in control, more in blessing than we've ever walked in our lives. We're happier with each other. We're happier with others than we've ever been. We're more in the ministry than we've ever been. We touch more people than we've ever touched. We do it because it's God's will. Because we love and we're forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. Here comes the controller. So much desiring to be controlled, but can't give up control. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Father, I thank you so much that you loved her so much you sent her here. Ah, that you sent her here. Praise you, Lord. Would you reveal to her? I think you already have. Let it become real in her, this forgiveness thing, Lord. This things that the Baptists can't teach, the brethren can't teach, Catholics can't teach, Nazarenes can't teach, no one can teach. Only by the Spirit of the living God can it be taught. So real that it becomes our life. Let that be in her now, in Jesus' name. Let her become that peaceful, quiet person that sits in your presence in fullness of joy. And then when she turns to speak, grace and mercy and love flow out. But most of all, forgiveness. That she's fixed focus. She's waiting upon you for the desires of her heart. She doesn't have any. She's given them all up herself. She's waiting on you now for the desires of her heart. She walks in peace and joy and forgiven. She's forgiven. And she's healed from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, because that's part of the forgiveness package. She receives it with thanksgiving. And when the enemy comes, her voice will be loud to give you praise for all things and say, it's not you, but God that has put me here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heart's clear. Praise the Lord. Everybody that we know is going to go to heaven or going to go to hell.
That's right.
We just need to be impressed with that, above all things.
Yes.
You see, here's the thing we need to understand. I don't know anybody that deserves forgiveness. If I can look at somebody that I thoroughly dislike and understand they don't deserve forgiveness, but neither did I. If I can look at them like I look at me, then they can be forgiven in me. Does that make sense what I just said? If I can look at them the same way I look at me, which I don't deserve it and they don't deserve it, but I got it and I'm not going to be so selfish that I don't give it.
Amen.
You know, here's the thing. A whole other message, but let me remind you of something. The Bible tells you that what's forgiven on earth is forgiven in heaven.
That's right.
Where do you think that a lot of people's forgiveness lies then? See, God has already done His part. He paid Jesus. It's no longer in heaven. It's on earth.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid the reason that God doesn't look too good to the world is because people don't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are going to be a lot of people that don't make it to heaven because we don't forgive. Joseph would have never been the man that he was without the trials that he had.
That's right.
So he learned not to disdain the trials, but to appreciate them. So, Gene could never have been the person that Gene is. Harry could never have been the person he is, without trials.
That's right.
I don't care if it's wrapped up in a father, a mother, an uncle, or an aunt. A trial, a tribulation doesn't make any difference. You could not be who, Joseph could not be who he was without all that garbage.
Amen.
I'm not giving right to the garbage. I'm not even making excuses for the garbage. I'm building on the garbage. That's what we need to do. Build on the garbage. Say, it's not you. It's God.
Amen.
And I'm a better person because of you.
Yes.
I can talk about many people in my life that do not deserve forgiveness because they've never asked for it. But I can tell you this. I can still build on it.
You bet.
Old things are passed away. All things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that my father can become new? In my eyes, I guarantee you he can. Other eyes don't make any difference. How about all the times I've been kicked out of church? Can that become new? Oh, yeah, man. When we started this, see, God's been working for me for a long time, but when we started this church, my response to those of you that were here was, I know 10,000 things not to do. I don't know one thing to do. Where do you think the 10,000 things that not to do came from? It was from those people that did me wrong. And I determined in my heart that I'm not going to do that. That does not mean I determined in my heart to forgive them. It just means I determined in my heart not to do that. But when I found out that God had called me to a ministry in Colorado, I went or attempted to go to those preachers that had done me wrong, sat across their table, and asked them to forgive me. Now, they did it to me, but what difference did it make? What difference did it make? I wanted to make sure that I wasn't carrying some garbage in. You understand? I can let them put garbage into my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one of them wouldn't even see me. Okay. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yep. Yep.
That man rides motorcycles and is out of a church now. Not that they're the same, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Everything turned inward. Turned to pastor. Got an unlisted phone number. Didn't hear about people. What he doesn't understand is I was a minister in his life also. Do you understand that? What I've been saying to you about your father, my father, anybody else's, is they are ministers in your life.
That's right.
And we always take it as bad. Why don't we do like Joseph's? Just take it for good. But you've got a father that will never sin against you. And somewhere out there, you have lineage. That's what you're saying, right? And you have the right to claim an eternal inheritance or possession in that lineage.
That's right.
You need to step up to this plate and begin to claim it. You don't have to be the best father to claim a good lineage. You know that?
Amen. That's right.
Go back to your founding fathers. Go back to Abraham. Look at some things in his life. Go back to Moses. Go to Noah. I mean, go to anybody you want, and you're going to find flaws. So it's all right. God evidently had designed us that way. I don't know why, but I know that inside of me there's a flawless individual. If I will walk in forgiveness. If I don't walk in forgiveness, I have flaws that will taint me forever and everybody that I touch. I am forgiven. Richard, how about you?
Yes, sir.
You got anything? Any forgiveness to offer anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? This is important enough to spend some time on.
Yes.
Whatever's bugging you, you need to release from it. That means you need to release it. The preachers will tell you that the blood of Jesus can wash away everything, and it can't. It can't. It can't wash away what you got a hold of. You have to let him.
That's right.
It's like you holding dirt in your hand and taking a shower. With this pile of grease in my hand, and I'm going to get clean. But I'm not opening that hand. That's the way we approach the throne. And we need to stop that. We come naked. Do you understand that the bride, I mean, we're the bride, and that the groom loves to see us naked? He didn't design clothes. Sin designed clothes.
That's right.
And when we try to cover something up, he's not pleased. Because that means we're hiding something from the one that is supposed to have us lock, stock, and barrel. We're hiding something. Y'all understand lock, stock, and barrel? I say these old phrases, and I'm reminded sometimes people don't know what in the world you're talking about. There's a gate. There's a lock on the gate. The stock behind the gate and the barrel of the drinker you eat out of. God owns a lock, stock, and barrel.
Amen.
There you go. It can be the old rifle, too. The old musket. He lost everything. Kind of like an old West when he took the horse. I hung for that because that was his provision. Let's don't take people's provision. You know what people's real provision is? Forgiveness. Let's give it to them and don't take it from them. That's our two choices. We either give forgiveness or we take forgiveness away. Hallelujah. Now the enemy's going to be faithful to come and steal what we've accomplished today. You guys need to be hot-headed enough to get mad at him and tell him where to go. Because he's going to come at you. There's going to be that tribe that nips at your heels and tries to get you to fall backwards. Stomp them. You have the Spirit's permission to stomp them. If they get down around your heels, crush the teeth.
Yeah.
So they can't do you anymore and they can't do anybody else. Hard to gum somebody to death. For those of you that are holding back from God in any way, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're missing.
Yes.
All wisdom comes from God. All peace, all joy, all forgiveness, all rest, all honor. Everything that makes you a man or woman comes from God. Everything that tries to destroy what makes you a man or woman comes from the devil. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? All right, let's bow our heads. We bow to you, not again, but continually.
Yes.
We say to you, Father, thank you. Thank you for your visitation today. Thank you for your truth. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit we realize that you want greater things for us than we are nearly willing to receive. But thank you for working on our receiver today.
Yes.
Thank you for focusing and directing and giving us understanding that we can go far beyond anything we've ever thought or asked. And we do that now in Jesus' name. We do it in peace, but most of all, we do it in determination that we will not be denied. I'll not be denied what you've so freely given. I take it to myself now. No matter what attack of the enemy, no matter what threat, we heard the word.
Amen.
We heard the word, and we will not be denied. Let that be the spirit of this place. Thank you for the 11 years. Thank you for what's to come.
Yes.
Thank you for the growth. Thank you for the rebirth. Thank you for the regeneration.
Yes.
And Father, I ask in me, if you have determined that I am to preach, let this never leave a message. Never. I want to give life. I want to give hope. And I want to give direction. Let it be by you. Let it be by your Spirit. That all these things come, and let us, as we raise up ministers in this house, let that be the desire of their heart. Your heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you as you bless him. May he protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. What an exciting thought. May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, and give you his peace. And may you never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.